Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Did I Get Anyway? The talk show.
Well, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert Denise Harding, and etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as Etiquette Lady Donna Paige.
Right.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Today is Sunday, August 29, 2010. We are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. And of course, this evening we will continue our discussion on back to school etiquette. I'm Donna Paige Riley, also known as the Etiquette Lady. And Denise, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, great. How are you this evening?
I am doing very well. And yourself?
Kind of been fighting the sinus infection all week. So, you guys, I apologize if I sound all congested and all of that, because I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I was determined that we were going to go ahead and do our show this evening. But I'd like to welcome everyone again to the show. We're so excited. This actually will be our part three, Denise, the show.
Yeah.
So quite interesting, you guys. So bear with me and my voice, okay, you guys? Of course, Denise, as we do weekly, the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway? And we always want to take the time for the benefit of the new listeners to talk about what etiquette is. And just etiquette is a fancy word for manners. And it's simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these particular rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. And, of course, the word etiquette itself comes from an old French word meaning ticket. And later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So, in answering our question, what is etiquette anyway? There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we remind you weekly that if you don't remember the origin, all the formal stuff, then just simply remember that etiquette is a fancy word for manners. And as we do on a weekly basis, we encourage you to please mind your manners. Okay, now, Denise, of course, as you know, it's back to school time for many school districts around the country. And as a matter of fact, some of the districts are in their second, some third, some fourth week even.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, pretty much the rest of the country will return after the Labor Day holiday. And on this evening's show, like we said, the school etiquette series continues. This is part three. And, of course, we're going to discuss tips on how to get your children in school to behave. Since we understand from some of our educators that this is a major issue that's going on. And it's not, you know, just in one or two areas of the country. It's just something that's going on around the country. So we're going to talk about how the role of the parents or the role of the parents and what they play in facing this particular task. And also, Denise, you know, we started talking last week about some of the challenges that some of the educators are facing,
mm-hmm.
and started finding out how some of them are dealing with it. So we're going to also be talking about that a little more. I know last week we ended with one of the emails that was talking about, you know, some of, you know, the impact that the education field is having and how they're feeling the crunches. So we're going to certainly be talking about that, and should have some educators at some point calling in to kind of discuss, you know, their feelings about what is going on. You know, let's talk about in the class, let's talk about the golden rule. Let's talk about just common courtesies and respect in the classroom as a whole. So you guys are going to also answer as many of your emails as we can. So parents and students and educators, feel free to call in with your comments or to send us an email, as you already have, a lot of you. Let me give you the number. It's 347-324-3295, 347-324-3295, or you can email us at etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Now, due to a tremendous response last week, we had a special guest on. She was an educator, and she was talking about some of the many things that were taking place in the classroom. We are going to go ahead and we're going to be talking to her at some point this evening in response, or we're certainly going to read as many responses as we possibly can. And Denise, if you remember, we ran out of time at the end of the show. So if you remember, I think you actually read one of the emails regarding some of the challenges that educators are facing. If you want to kind of remind those who were not with us one last week of what that was about, you can certainly go right ahead and do that.
This email was concerning a veteran teacher who had taught for 15 years. This teacher was very disgruntled about the furlough situation in our country with teachers, and specifically here in Georgia. Teachers are being furloughed anywhere from 6 to 12 days a year, which means that their salaries are being cut. And also they are not working on those days along with that salary being cut. So her thing was that she has no opportunity for advancement in pay, and that she felt that she was in a dead-end job. Her degree at this point is a specialist degree. She had a master's already, and of course, her BA, regular ed, and was looking to do a PhD, but at this point was concerned about whether she would be able to promote and be financially, I guess, rewarded for that PhD. As you know, in the educational system, when you add a degree to your status, your money or finances increases with that degree, and you don't find that very often in many professions. And so she was just a little bit concerned about how the furlough days are affecting the pay, as well as whether she should even consider going a little bit further with her education to that PhD status.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but it's affecting the home life in terms of, you know, less money with and the same amount of bills. I guess a lot like what a lot of people are dealing with in the with the economy. Of course, we know that there are so many people out of work, and I'm sure that she's grateful for having a job. But those were her concerns at this point, and just wanted to make a comment to talk about her longevity in teaching, and that she's very committed, but it seems like the system is kind of making things a little bit difficult. I'm sure that the morale is difficult for teachers or some teachers. I won't say all teachers, but some teachers at this point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. of course, you know, with it talking about appropriate behavior and things of that nature, we already know that, you know, a lot of the children in the classroom are out of control, but to take and couple that with the other issues that educators are having to face, it's, you know, it's really unfortunate to have to deal with, you know, they're having to deal with things that are going on both inside and outside the classroom. And in case you guys are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? I apologize. I've been fighting a sinus infection. So if I sound like I'm down inside a box, I'm not, but I feel like I could be because it's still a little congested. But we're gonna
You're doing great, Donna.
Okay, thanks, Denise. We're going to go ahead and go to the phones and start bringing on some of our callers. Extension 1277, thanks for calling. What is Etiquette Anyway? Hello.
Hello. This is Erica, and I'm an educator, a veteran educator, and I have some of those same concerns concerning our furlough days and our pay. And the fact that not only are we being furloughed, but our health benefits have also increased. So that is even another cut in pay. And the way it looks, we're kind of wondering, you know, should we kind of stay in education or go to something else where we could get promotions and not just continue to get, you know, a whole lot of pay cuts, you know, with furlough days and benefits increasing and things like that.
Wow. So it sounds like the cycle continues.
It does, and that's what we received notice from our health insurance this summer, that the benefits would be increasing, the cost of the benefits. So therefore, that's another cut in pay.
Mm. Now, if you're feeling this way, Erica, I'm sure you've had discussions with your fellow teachers. Are they feeling the same way? What are some of their concerns?
Their concerns are that, you know, we have all these bills that we had made, these prior commitments we had made, and our pay is getting lower. And some of us are wondering, you know, should we consider leaving the teaching field? Should we consider trying to get a federal job? A lot of those people are not having a cut in pay as much as we are. And we're trying to decide what to do at this point. Our class sizes have increased. That we have more students. And we have a lot of things that have decreased. Some of the supplies that we used to get, we don't get them anymore due to the budget cuts. So we're feeling a whole lot of stress from a lot of things that we can't control that have been created due to the budget cut, the budget shortfall. And it's like, we are really, I guess you wouldn't say punished, but we are really feeling the brunt of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
More so than some other workers.
Let me ask you a question. I have a sister who teaches school, and one of the things that she is dealing with is not only some of the things that you're saying, but she has a child in college where she's having to pay a lot of her expenses, like tuition, as well as her meal plan. And of course, we know that in Georgia here, that's increased as well. So I'm pretty sure that she is feeling some of the same things that you are, even more so. And another child starting school next year. So that only adds to it. Now, with that said, how is the morale out there as far as teachers that you've worked with, Erica?
The morale is kind of low because with the increase, the larger class sizes, there tends to be more discipline problems, it's starting to get to be a kind of feeling of hopelessness. We're in a predicament, whereas we have no control of doing anything about it, and some people are just considering, you know, finding a way out of it. Some people have gotten second jobs. Some people have gotten third jobs. So we're just kind of, well, they have low morale, and they're just trying to figure out what can they do to increase their pay so that they can continue to have the lifestyle that they've had in the past few years.
Well, I can only imagine that having a second or even a third job after teaching has to be so much stressful in itself. And perhaps in this whole scenario that we're talking about, that sometimes the students really suffer as well. And in Georgia, I know that's not where we want to go as far as our students not passing their tests that they have to take every year and the graduation tests and all of that. So what are your thoughts on that as far as them learning in the classroom?
With the larger class size and more discipline problems in the classes, discipline problems or classroom disturbances tend to slow down instruction because discipline problems have to be handled. And sometimes it slows the pace of learning, which may be the end result of students not covering all of the material that they need to cover for the CRCT test or the Georgia graduation test, Georgia High School graduation test. They may not get a chance to cover all the material due to the fact that the classes are so large with so many students in them. And I don't think they really looked at that because it slows down the pace. There are different schools in the school district, whereas some of the schools with fewer discipline problems tend to be able to cover more material. Therefore, they may have higher test scores than a school that has a whole lot of discipline problems. And it's the pace of the instruction that basically hinders the test results.
Okay.
Wow.
Donna, any comments?
Yeah, talking about kind of going back into the classroom for a minute, I know that we had received an email from last week. It says that, is there a course on respect taught in schools today? What is going on with character education and exactly what does that mean? And she has, please keep up the good work with your show, Patty Moline in Brunswick, Georgia. And we did. We did talk to one of our guests last week, and we were talking about just, you know, the common courtesies and the respect, the lack of respect that is really found in the classrooms because a lot of the students just are so disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And the point that is mentioned on this particular email, and Erica, you may have something to say about that. We're going to bring on another caller as well. But character ed, you know, character ed, I remember, was mandated years ago pretty much throughout the country. And I know basically character ed, and the reason that it was mandated, because a lot of the children were so out of control that, you know, basically the state or the government had to step in and mandate character education to, in order to try to get these children to, you know, behave and act as though, you know, they have some sense. But Erica, what's your thought on character education, or is it still being taught, or is it just, you know, kind of a flash word that really there's not a whole lot to it?
Character education tends to be taught in middle grades, in middle school. When students get to high school, a lot of times there's not time, nor do they assign it to a particular subject area where character education can be taught. But some teachers teach character education unofficially through their classroom management techniques, whereas they talk about respect and they tie it into their school handbook and they demand that type of thing at the beginning of school, the school year. However, some people don't teach character education, but I feel that it should be taught at the very beginning of school so that the teacher can set expectations for the classroom and can get more done in the classroom, more instruction done in the classroom. But there are some teachers who tend to want to focus only on instruction for as the academic instruction, and they don't feel that character education is important, but it really is. Mm-hmm. It would cut down on discipline problems.
Sure. Well, let me see. We're going to go to extension 5677. Hello. Thanks for calling What Is Etiquette Anyway. Hello.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for calling What Is Etiquette Anyway. What is your comment? We're talking about school etiquette and respect. And hello.
Oh, I feel that character education should be covered in a assembly program and not in the classroom. I feel that it should be covered by administration in a way to set the climate, school climate.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. What do you think about, well, can you tell everybody your name? It's certainly welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway?
Okay, my name is, my name is Dee.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about school etiquette, just children behaving appropriately in school? Or misbehaving, if you will.
Well, I feel that, behavior should be addressed at the beginning of school as a part of classroom management,
mm-hmm.
and that the students should buy in and develop ownership for being a good citizen in the classroom and a good citizen around school. So I think character education should be combined with good citizenship. And I think it should be encouraged by the teachers and the
school. Good. That's great information. And if you all can hold on just a moment, we will certainly be right back.
Do you need repairs made around your home, but you hesitate to book a contractor because of a bad past experience? Well, worry no more. 7-Day Contractors will put your mind at ease. They install decks, hardwood floors, kitchen cabinets. They do plumbing, painting, roofing, electrical work, and more. They are licensed, bonded, insured, and all work is guaranteed. No project is too big or small. 7-Day Contractors can handle them all. To schedule your free estimate, call 678-663-6817. 678-663-6817. 7-Day Contractors. What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is sponsored by Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC. Pages Etiquette Seminars provides both personal and professional development training for all ages and offers motivational and training materials such as What Is Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book covers introductions, writing thank yous, table and telephone manners, and much more. In addition to book What Is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. Some of its contents include how to master the art of networking, business over lunch, and how to impress your interviewer, only to name a few. Pages Etiquette Seminars, that's www.pagesetiquette.com, www.pagesetiquette.com.
You are listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladiesplural, @gmail.com. That's E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E-L-A-D-I-E-S
gmail.com.
Okay, in case you are just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're currently discussing school etiquette, appropriate versus inappropriate behavior in the classroom. We're also talking about some of the additional challenges outside of the classroom that many of our educators are facing. I wanted to go and pull this email, and it said, Dear Etiquette Ladies, your guest last week mentioned that she taught middle and high school. What is the best way to help a middle schooler transition to high school? And this comes from Ms. Myers in Atlanta, Georgia. P.S., I really enjoy your show. So I know Mia's not with us yet this evening. Eric, I'm not sure which grade level you teach, but for this parent who is asking what's the best way to kind of transition, what would you suggest being an educator of, you know, which would be the best way to transition to make sure that they're comfortable?
I think the best way to transition high school is for the parent and the child to attend open house, to attend the first open house that they have that occurs prior to school opening. They usually have one for freshmen and their parents to come and meet and greet the teacher. And they also have clubs and other organizations will have displays. They advertise extracurricular activities that the students can become involved in. And they get a tour of the school. They also get a chance to listen to administrators, tell them about their school, what to expect, the administrators' expectations, and et cetera. And I would suggest that the parent come over to the school prior to school opening and talk with the counselor and bring the child along and get a tour of the school prior to school opening. That way the child can get a chance to look around the school without a whole lot of people being there, say, the summer prior to entering the ninth grade. And also when the parent gets the handbook, if they will go over the handbook with their child, I think that would make the transition process much easier.
Okay. And even mentioning the handbook, I know that in some school districts that the handbook has to be read and it has to be signed off on by the student as well as the parent, making sure that, you know, there's complete understanding of what is expected during that school year. And I know that, I think on the show, Denise, last year, mm-hmm. I believe we had one of our callers that called in and she was talking about some of the various things that were in the handbook, and I think she had mentioned that she felt, in her opinion, a lot of the parents were not necessarily reading it. They were just kind of mm-hmm. signing off on it because they had to be returned in a certain period of time. Do you remember that call, Anthony?
Yes, I remember something like that. And I also, doing some research, found that the parent and child have to sign off in order for that child to get a locker in school. So it was a way for them to make sure they had that locker available to them. But I know that parents are really busy a lot of times, and if a child says, please sign this, a lot of times they're just signing it and not covering those things. But it's very, very important because, I mean, to know what's in that handbook so that you and the parents are aware of what is going on in that school. I mean, that transitions over into the work environment because a lot of work companies have handbooks, and it's imperative that you read and know what's going on. So, yeah, so that would be a good thing to go over and know so that you know what the child has to do or not to do in the school system, you know, in school.
And for some of the parents who say they may have children entering school for the first time this year, can you guys kind of give give some parents some ideas of what they can expect to see in this particular handbook. They're not familiar with it. Their children are just actually getting ready to start kindergarten. What are some of the things as far as the policies and procedures that that are in that handbook, just kind of in general? I know they differ from district to district, but kind of overall in general.
Basically, they have a school's mission statement. They have a core of values for the school. They have a code of conduct. They have the attendance policy, which explains how the parents, the amount of time the parent has to send a note back in order for the absence to be excused. It also lists the absences that are considered excused by that school system. The offenses and dispositions and the consequences of those offenses, they have those listed there, and they have the the information about an alternative school if the student misbehaves, and they tell them they have a dress code in there. So a lot of times the parents, if they would just read the handbook, they will realize what the rules are, and then they can relay those rules to their children no matter how young they are and tell them, you know, these are the things that you cannot do at school, and they can just go over the handbook with them. They also have a list of faculty members. They have the lunch procedures and et cetera. They have extracurricular activities, and they have a calendar, school calendar, calendar of events, so that a parent would know what events are coming up.
Well, it's just a lot of information. So parents, be sure, don't just sign off on it and send it back to school just because there's a particular deadline that your child needs to have it back by. But take some time to review that handbook, but that's a lot of information. That's great. Going up to another email, it says, Dear Etiquette and HR Lady, I agree with your guest, what you said about respecting adults, but there are so many children that do not respect themselves or their parents. Parents need to teach their children self-respect. Thanks for your show. This is John Loudon in Denver, Colorado. Thanks, John, for that email, and you're absolutely right. And I know I have said over the years that if the parent, if your children do not respect you as a parent, they are not going to respect any other authoritative figure. They're just not going to, because you are actually the first role model when it comes to respect. And I believe, Denise, remember when last week we had someone that had mentioned about parents, there are so many parents that seem to be trying to be their children's friend, and not their parents. And you can't do it and earn the same type of respect. You just can't do it. And generally, you know, you have your own friend pool, and your children have their friend pool. And a lot of times this becomes even more common during the teenage years. So, you know, you've got to teach your children how to, first of all, respect themselves, because if they don't respect themselves, then quite naturally they will not be respecting anyone else either. I'm going to go back to the phone line, extension 5677. What is your comment on children and being respectful? Hello.
Hello. Excuse me. Hello. Okay, my comment on children being respectful, you made a very good point when you said that they do not respect themselves. A lot of children have low self-esteem, and a lot of times when you find that they don't respect adults, if you look just a little bit closer, you'll find that they don't respect themselves because they don't feel very good about themselves. And a lot of times if you can, as an educator, if you can work with the child and build the child's confidence, a lot of times you can improve on their behavior. If they start to feel better about themselves, a lot of times they will develop, and you teach them respect, then they will learn to respect authority, learn to respect adults, and learn to have
compassion for other people. But a lot of times it's due to low self-esteem.
That's really good. That's a great comment. And I would venture to say that in addition to, you know, the educators, the parents have to start also in teaching that child and building up that child's self-esteem and confidence and encouraging that child and praising that child when they are doing things that are proper. And always, you know, I always like to say you want to reprimand in private and you want to praise in public.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right as far as self-esteem. And I would also venture to say that not even just for children, for adults, if you have adults that have lower self-esteem and don't feel as good about themselves, then, you know, also you would have the same situation as well. So that is a great point. And generally, please excuse me, generally, if that parent begins to encourage the child with the self-esteem, and by the time they get into the school, then you find that the educators are kind of reinforcing that, then that certainly does make, you know, for great teamwork. So that's an excellent comment. Also, we're going to try to get to as many of our emails as possible. And this, as a matter of fact, this, it says, last week you guys were talking about parents trying to be your children's friend. I agree with what you said about children respecting adults and parents putting their foot down and being a parent. We need old-fashioned parenting back. Don't you agree? This comes from Caroline Messer in South Carolina. Oh, I most certainly agree with getting back to old-fashioned parenting. And I think basically, you know, the old-fashioned parenting is just, you know, making sure that your children are respectful. What do you guys think about that comment? Since she asked if we agree. I certainly do agree myself.
Oh, yes, I definitely agree as well. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carla.
I agree that parents should help their children to set goals and show respect, display respect and everything. But as far as some of the old-fashioned parenting, I don't quite agree with that because the old-fashioned parenting tend to make the child not communicate well with the adult and to keep secrets from the adult. And that's what I notice about the parents that are somewhat old-fashioned, whereas if the parent is firm and has goals and rules for their children, then and has open communication, then a lot of times they can help with the guidance in the rearing of the child, and they can also help to prevent some of the problems, because if their child is willing to come and discuss problems with their parents, then the parent can help to solve some of the problems. Whereas with the old-fashioned approach, the child is never going to go and talk with the parent. Instead, they'll talk with someone else who they feel is not, you know, as strict or authoritarian toward them. And I think I use a combination of both. I have rules and regulations, but I have open communication so that I can help with problems, help solve problems.
And so it sounds like basically what you're saying is the most important factor is communication. And a lot of times, if you know, you may hear parents say, do what I said, you know, just because I said it, you know. But, yeah, the communication is very, very important. You certainly want your child to be able to come to you and to, you know, be able to speak with you about anything. And that is very, very important. So that is a good point. There's another email. It looks like it says, dear Etiquette Lady, my mom makes our family listen every week, and we learn some pretty neat stuff. This is the first year our school district has to wear uniforms, and my friends and I don't like it. Why can't we wear what we want? We have good behavior and get good grades. We want to show our independence by wearing tasteful clothing instead of uniforms. What do you think? And this comes from Kaylee, 16 years old, from Maine. And, Denise, we've had quite a few over the last couple of shows of emails similar to this with the uniform policy. And a lot, it seems to that a lot of the older, the teenagers especially, are really, they are not really feeling this uniform policy. And I know we had, I think, a young lady last week, or may have been week before last, that was
week before.
Mm-hmm. Remember when she said that the only people she thought that should dress alike are twins? And,
yes.
and they shouldn't have to all go around looking alike. But somebody want to go ahead and speak to that. Why the uniforms really are important, and it's not necessarily by any means taking away, you know, the independence of that individual, but it's just, you know, making everybody kind of uniform, and it puts everyone on kind of like on a level playing field. So if anyone wants to speak to that, you can go right ahead and give us your opinion on that.
I think that with the uniforms, again, what you said is that it puts everybody on the same level in terms of clothing, whereas you may have some students who are parents who are able to buy the designer-type clothing and the trendy clothing. Other parents may not be able to. And so in that respect, you don't have that. You know, I'm wearing designer and you're wearing Kmart or whatever. And, of course, you know, kids can be pretty evil when it comes to people who look differently from them. So I think it would cut down some of that, as well as everybody knows what they're wearing. They know what they have to wear every day. It is, to me, somewhat of a form of discipline for the students, and that they have to comply with the rules and regulations. Also, it cuts down on the trendy things that are going on with the dress and attire, the sagging of the pants, the showing of body parts that probably should not be shown in the public. So I think it is a good way to help the students with learning how to be disciplined when it comes to what is proper to wear and not wear.
Mm-hmm. That's a great, that's certainly a great response, and it certainly takes a burden off the parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, of having to, you know, purchase all these different garments. And did anybody else want to address that and their feelings on uniforms or?
Okay, I agree. If clothing, if it is a distraction, clothing and shoes, if they are a distraction, I agree that uniforms would be best. But if they're not, then I agree with the students wearing their own clothing. They are individuals, and a lot of students like to show their individuality through dress. And a lot of times it's not harmful because most of them comply with the school dress code or the school system dress code, but it depends on how much attention is focused on clothing in that particular school or school district. To me, that determines whether or not a uniform is needed. Because if it distracts from learning, then you really need a uniform.
Mm-hmm. And you guys will be right.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladies plural, at gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies at gmail.com.
Okay, in case you guys are just joining us, You are listening to the What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We're discussing school etiquette. It's part three we've been discussing this evening. We've talked about the policies and procedures and the handbooks for schools. We've talked about being disrespectful or the lack of respect that's being shown in some of the classrooms. We've also been talking about some of the challenges that educators are facing outside of the classroom as well. And once again, I have been fighting a sinus infection, so if I sound crabby and all that good stuff, I'm still a little congested, and I certainly apologize, but we wanted to wrap up the series on this evening. Denise, I think you had pulled emails as well.
I do have a couple of emails to read. One of them is, Dear Etiquette Ladies, thank you for doing the Back to School show. Last year I listened to your shows but did not participate. This year I decided to email you ladies. I want all parents to know that when you are more involved with what your children are doing in school, interacting with their teachers and going to PTA meetings, as well as to the open houses, teachers really appreciate that. Both parents need to be a part of their children's success. Thanks for making this a part of your etiquette show. I hope that all parents are listening, and I certainly will tell them about your show. I do understand that you can go back and listen to archive shows. Just wanted to say thank you. This is Dina and her husband, Alex, Griffin, Georgia. P.S., our girls are really doing great in school.
That is wonderful. We certainly thank you for that email and those fine comments. We certainly appreciate that. And,
I do have another email, too. This one is, Dear Etiquette Ladies, we have two children, one graduating this year, and one next year. What is the best way to get them involved in volunteering? I understand that it is important to have volunteer on your resume or have some volunteer for your children when they're applying for school. Please give me some information on what I can do to get them more involved in volunteer activities. This is Maxine out of Albany, Georgia.
That's a great question, Maxine. And Denise, I'll let you take that because with you being in HR, I'm sure you can really pretty much explain in detail why the volunteering is important. A lot of times children think if unless they worked, you know, some sort of a job and they got paid for it, it doesn't matter. And I know you have mentioned that during our HR segment quite a few times. On why volunteering is very important and why it really holds such a prominent position. So if you want to address that.
Actually, with volunteering, it also, I think Erica mentioned something about showing compassion for others. When you do show compassion, it just gives you character and it makes you less involved with yourself and more involved with thinking about what concerns others have. So it's a selfless act where you give your time, your energy, and your expertise, and also learn things when you are in a volunteer state. Now, Donna was mentioning that in HR, sometimes volunteering is really good as well, and I just want to expound on that a little bit. A lot of children do not work during their high school or even junior high, if that's permissible, during those years. So they are involved in volunteer activities. When they do apply for a job, it is important to put those things on there. It shows that you've been around people. It shows that you, in many cases, are working on a team effort, that you are a team player. It shows compassion for others. And not all volunteer activities deal with just people, but it shows that you're willing to do things not just for the money, but to help others and to also make a difference in somebody else's life. Volunteering for purposes of getting into school, I believe that's on the applications now, Donna, where they look for that volunteer activity as a means of helping them to decide on financial aid. And not only that, it also helps with being in school. A lot of classes, you have to work with other team members. And I know when you get to college especially, you don't know the people there in a lot of cases in your classroom. So to me, if you've volunteered and you've been around people that you didn't necessarily know, that when you get to college, it helps you to be more comfortable working with and dealing with and being in a team environment so that your projects, when you do have projects, that they can run a little bit smoother that way.
Great information. And certainly want to applaud that parent right now for, you know, being concerned and on the lookout for volunteer information. So parents, you certainly do want to encourage your children to definitely volunteer as well. In addition, I've gotten an email, and normally we do pet peeve segments, but we did receive a pet peeve email.
And now it's time for pet peeve. You've told us what really gets on your nerves.
Okay, you guys, this email says, I've been a substitute teacher for 5 years. One of my pet peeves is that children think they can run over you when you are not the regular teacher. How can we make them understand that they should behave and show the same respect they show their teachers? And this comes from Ms. Johnson in Gwinnett County. Wow, Ms. Johnson. I'm wondering, you know, what is up with that? I get, and I know this is real common around the country. Why is it that when oftentimes when children go into the classroom and they see that their teacher's not there, they think that this is an automatic pass for them to misbehave? Anybody have any idea of that? And I know, and Erica, I want to thank you for joining us. I know she had to go, and I certainly thank you for joining us. I want to see if anybody else would like to kind of explain that. And it seems to have been something that has gone on over the years.
It has. I think that in many situations, they're testing that new person. And children are really, they pick up on they can pick up when you're firm and you're, you know, I mean what I say. And they can also pick up when you are a little bit wavering on whether you're going to be firm or not. And so if they pick up on the latter one, they try to take advantage of it and just act out. In my profession, Donna, I recently changed to a different location. And it's the same thing for the past few weeks. I feel like I've been tested because, first of all, they don't know me and how I am about or what I know in terms of laws or policies, et cetera. And I think that people in general test you to see if you're going to waver one way or the other. And if they feel like you're a little bit all weak, then that's when the chaos begins. And why they don't respect people when they come in new, I don't know. But that respect should be there, whether it's your teacher that teaches every day or if it's a new person who comes in as a substitute. And so I think that should carry over for the students who are listening. Please try to respect anybody who comes in. They have your best interest at heart, just as your teacher does. And, you know, one other thing, too. People don't like change. Children don't like change. Sometimes it's at a point where, what do I do? My regular person is not here today. You know, how can I go through my day? This is something new. This is a change. There are a lot of people and students who don't like or accept change in the workplace or in school.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to remind you to, you know, live by the golden rule. Let's treat others the way you want to be treated. And if you live and kind of stand by that golden rule, then it will always give you an opportunity to put yourself in that person's shoes and to see how they would feel. So, you know, if it's something that you would not be comfortable with, and you don't want to put anyone else through that as well. So that's why we're doing this show. We're talking about common courtesies and being polite and respectful. And I wanted to see if our caller had any other comments. Extension 5677, hello.
Hello?
Yes, wanted to see if you had any additional comments you would like to make. We were talking about just children being disrespectful and following the golden rule.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can go right ahead with your comment. Okay, we'll try and come back to her. Last week, you guys, we didn't have an opportunity to, we always tell you each week to make sure that you initiate a random act of kindness.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
Okay, this random act of kindness email comes from Becky Myers in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. On last Wednesday, I noticed a little girl and boy sitting in a locked car that had the motor running outside of a pharmacy. There were no adults present, so I stood there until the mother came back. She said she ran in just for a minute and did not want to wake the youngest child. She seemed to be rather young, and I explained to her that what she did was dangerous, and I watched to make sure no one took her children. She was extremely grateful and said she wouldn't do it again. And this, once again, from Becky Myers in Florida. And Becky, certainly want to definitely applaud you for just, you know, staying there until the parent came back. And yes, I know we've heard, I can remember the countless stories of hearing, you know, when parents just kind of run in, whether it's to run into the daycare to pick up another child and leave another child, you know, there, just kind of leave them there in the car. It is so dangerous. I can even recall some stories where some of the kids, I mean, someone jumped in the car and took off with the car that was running with a baby in the back and that kind of thing. So we've got to be mindful and extremely careful to make sure that, you know, we avoid doing that because you just never, ever know. And that lady was so kind to do that. Well, you guys, we're so glad we had an opportunity to spend some additional time with you. We did get through all of our emails, very excited about that. And I thank you, callers, for calling in over this series. We thank you for the countless emails that you all have sent. Thank you so much for your patience and listening to me as I'm so congested, but we were determined to go ahead and get finished. Thanks for supporting our show each week. And remember, if you have an etiquette question or even a topic you'd like us to discuss, feel free to contact us. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. And, of course, remember to initiate at least one random act of kindness this week. And you most certainly can feel free to send it to us and share what it was that you did or what someone else did for you. Once again, thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk again next week. And certainly we invite you to take care. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we'll discuss another exciting topic.